And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. Joined now by Joel Corey. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. He's a former sports agent. You can read his work on National Football Post and on CBSSports.com. Joel, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing really well. So I guess just to start off, what were your first impressions of the deal that Alex Smith and the Chiefs struck earlier this week?
I thought it was a fair deal. It came in slightly lower on average than I thought it would, because I thought Alex Smith's agent, Tom Condon, would push for the $18 million per year that Jay Cutler and Tony Romo have. And I think he gave him a break on the years, even though years can be meaningless over time since most guys don't play out the full length of their contracts.
And when you look at this deal, and I know it's become kind of one of the big things with the new second-tier quarterback contracts, it's all about the opt-out years. What do you see in terms of when the Chiefs can opt out of this contract? Are there those options, kind of like what we saw with Kaepernick's deal?
No, and I never expected this deal to be structured in that way. Looking at how the Chiefs structure their deals, Dwayne Bowe had $20 million fully guaranteed at signing, so I knew that Alex Smith wasn't going to have the $13 million fully guaranteed at signing that Colin Kaepernick did. He's at $30 million fully guaranteed at signing, Alex Smith, and $45 million will be fully guaranteed by the third day of the 2015 league year. Because of that, the earliest time the Chiefs could realistically get out of a deal without any adverse cap consequences is 2017.
Theoretically, though, and I know this is completely unrealistic and it's something that we'll talk about on Sports Talk Radio and it will never happen, but theoretically, they could cut him before that third day of the league year in 2015, correct? Or is that wrong?
Yeah, theoretically, they could, but you're not going to pay a guy $12.5 million more than you would have paid if he played out his contract and then release him. That just isn't going to happen. That'd be a $12.5 million parting gift.
Joel, Tyler Griever here. You know, we keep seeing these quarterback deals, especially in this second tier, and the numbers are really eye-popping for a lot of people. And the thought that keeps running through my mind is, when does this bubble burst for this quarterback market? Or is this just what we're going to have now for the distant future at this point?
Right, this is what you're going to have, because if Nick Foles plays somewhat close to what he did last year, he's going to be in the same range. Cam Newton's going to look to go higher than this range. You've got some veteran quarterbacks who are playing on outdated deals, namely Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, who will be in contract years next year. They'll blow these deals out of the water. And then you're going to have a guy like Russell Wilson. And if he continues to play like he did in the preseason, he'll be the highest paid player in football.
So if we look back on this 3 years from now, when most of his guaranteed money, the $45 million that you were talking about, is over, I guess, will it look like a better deal then than it does now to most Chiefs fans?
Yeah, it will. It will by then, because he'll keep sliding down the salary totem pole as new deals get done. Because Eli Manning isn't in the top 10 anymore, and when he signed his deal in 2009, he became the highest-paid player in football. So it's just the nature of the beast that contracts are made to be surpassed.
And once again, we're speaking with Joel Corey. You can follow him on Twitter. He's an excellent resource on there, Corey Joel. He's a former sports agent, and you can also read his work on the National Football Post and on CBSSports.com. So I wanted to ask you about what this means for Justin Houston, because he's kind of the next guy in line for a contract from the Chiefs. What do you think this contract and Alex Smith's deal does for the Chiefs and their negotiations with Justin Houston?
It ensures that he's going to get a franchise tag if they can't come to some sort of agreement. That's the one thing it does. I think the bigger impact on the Houston negotiations will be the new J.J. Watt deal. Rightly or wrongly, he's going to try to use that as some sort of benchmark and try to come in under that. I think the Chiefs are going to want to restrict all discussions to the pass rushing linebacker market. The highest paid linebacker is Clay Matthews. His deal averages $13.2 million per year. But the Chiefs have to know that Tom Bahali's deal that he did a couple of years ago is going to be a floor for Justin Houston, because Houston's going to obviously point to the fact that I'm younger and I think I'm a better player. So anything under $11.5 million per year and $35 million in guarantees is something I'm not going to look at.
So I look at the Chiefs right now, and I see the fact that they have some really highly paid players in Dwayne Bowe, Tom Bahali, and Eric Berry. And then you look at the fact that they just had to pay Alex Smith real quarterback money, and they just locked up Jamaal Charles long-term as well. Is this something where we're looking at kind of the changing of the guard for Kansas City? And is it possible that going into the 2015 season, we don't see Dwayne Bowe or Tom Bahali and possibly Eric Berry in Chiefs uniforms?
I think Dwayne Bowe is most vulnerable, because you're not going to pay a guy as a top receiver when he can't produce 750 yards per year. So if he's going to have another year like he had in 2013, he won't be around unless he takes a significant pay cut. You could kind of see the handwriting on the wall for Tom Bahali when they drafted Dee Ford, because you could pick up significant cap room by cutting Tom Bahali, go with Dee Ford and Justin Houston either on a franchise tag or a new contract, and those could be your two pass-rushing linebackers. And Eric Berry, I would try to trade him before I would cut him if it comes to that.
Joel, we talk about this changing of the guard possibly coming up in Kansas City, and looking around at the weapons at Alex Smith, and I'm trying to look and see what the guy really has beyond Jamaal Charles. How do you think the Chiefs set up financially to try and build more around Smith in the future and actually give him, you know, some toys to work with here?
Well, that's a good point, because I think one of the few teams which wouldn't be envious of Kansas City's receiving options is the Carolina Panthers, because I put them on par. Both teams are at the bottom of the league. If you look at it, you go, wow, this guy's kind of handicapped. But if you make a couple of the moves that we just talked about, that's going to free up significant cap room, and you're going to be able to go out and hopefully get a better receiving option or use a high pick, your first-round pick or second-round pick, on a toy for Alex Smith next year.
And once again, we're speaking with Joel Corey. He's a former sports agent. You can read his work on National Football Post and CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. Joel, one more thing for you here. Tomorrow, the start of the NFL season. What's your Super Bowl pick, man?
I'm going Green Bay and New England, and Aaron Rodgers gets the second Super Bowl.
Beautiful. I like that pick a lot. I really like Green Bay going into the year. He's Joel Corey. Really appreciate him joining us this morning. Joel, have a great rest of your day, man.
Thank you, Joel.
You too. Thanks for having me.